This is Naked Astronomy, the space science podcast from the Naked Scientists. The James Webb Space Telescope, planned for launch in 2014 or 15, will be NASA's scientific successor to Hubble. With a larger mirror and infrared observing capabilities, it is hoped that the James Webb will be able to image and study the objects that Hubble wasn't able to. Louise Ogden spoke to Nobel laureate John C. Mather, the project scientist for the James Webb Telescope, about its projected capabilities.
In 2014, the James Webb Space Telescope will be launched. The successor to the Hubble Space Telescope, the James Webb will host the largest mirror ever sent into space. Named after an influential NASA administrator, the James Webb is all about looking further. Hubble has brought us some of the most spectacular images of our universe, but it frustratingly lacked the infrared capabilities required to look at extremely redshifted objects in detail. The James Webb Telescope will change that. I spoke to John C. Mather, the lead project scientist at the NASA Goddard Space Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, about the capabilities that the James Webb will have.
So the James Webb Telescope will be optimized for infrared wavelengths, ranging from red visible light out to much longer, to extend our reach back towards the beginning of the universe, to see the first stars and galaxies forming, to see inside the dust clouds where stars are being born today, and even to understand something about the possibilities of life existing on other planets. There were things that were just past where the Hubble telescope can see. And so something bigger and more powerful is clearly needed to really understand what we're seeing.
The telescope will be equipped with four different instruments from different space centers across the globe. The near-infrared camera will be able to take images from the spectral range covering the edge of the visible to the near-infrared and will be accompanied by a near-infrared spectrograph. There will also be a mid-infrared instrument, which combines a camera and a spectrometer, with a spectral range from 5 to 27 micrometers. The final instrument is the Fine Guidance Sensor, or FGS, which will be used to stabilize the observatory's line of sight during science operations.
The flight instruments are already being finished in Europe. The mid-infrared and the near-infrared spectrograph are both just about done and are in their test programs. The mirrors that make up the telescope are all going to be finished by next summer.
The telescope's mirror will be the largest ever used in space, dwarfing the one currently used on Hubble. Made up of 18 hexagonal segments, the mirror will have a total diameter of 6.5 meters, compared to Hubble's 2.4 meter primary mirror. It will be so large, in fact, that it will need to be unfolded when in space.
The James Webb Telescope mirror is so large that it will not even fit into the rocket the way that it's to be used. Then after it's launched, it will unfold so that the telescope mirror will be put back into place. It's made out of 18 little hexagons, and they'll all be adjusted to the right place after launch. The segments are all made of beryllium, which is element number 4 in the periodic table. We chose it because it's possible to make mirrors that keep their shape when they cool down. It's difficult to work this material. It's hard and it's metallic, but it's been mastered, so now we can just do it. We can polish up the mirrors to the right shape.
Because the James Webb mirror will be made up of 18 segments, there will be gaps where the segments are connected together, creating areas where some light will not be reflected, meaning that this information will be lost. But there is a solution to this problem.
We actually do expect to lose a tiny amount of light because the mirror segments don't quite exactly touch each other. But there's very little that's lost in that way. So when you look at a bright star, you see something called the diffraction spikes, and it makes the star look like a point with two crossed lines on it. Our mirror has a hexagonal symmetry, so there'll be three crossed lines on the images of a star, but it's not a problem. We know what that is. So most of the big telescopes on the ground today are made with hexagonal mirror segments, and so we know how that works.
The telescope will be protected from the sun by a massive sunshield, which, like the mirrors, will unfold once the satellite has been launched. It will then travel to the second Lagrange point of the Earth-Sun system, a position in space that allows for the telescope to remain at the same distance from the Earth, despite it having a larger orbit around the sun.
Well, it's actually on the boundary point between orbiting the Earth and orbiting the sun. This is called a Lagrange point, L2, and it goes around the sun with the Earth. So it orbits the sun and the Earth once a year. So it's about a million miles from here. It takes a little more fuel to get there, but after you get there, it hardly takes anything to stay there. the point of it, actually, for us, is that the telescope can get cold all by itself. We need a big umbrella, a sun shield, to keep the sun off, and then the telescope cools off down to a very low temperature, so it's perfect for infrared astronomy.
It will take about 2 months for the telescope to travel the million miles up to Lagrange Point, and in this time, the telescope will cool down to the operating temperature. The James Webb Space Telescope, when launched, will greatly increase our ability to look at the early universe, allowing us to step further back in time. Undoubtedly, it will answer many of the questions that Hubble has been unable to do so, but like its predecessor, I suspect the James Webb will once again leave us with yet more questions once it has taken those first few images, with answers that are tantalisingly close, but just out of reach.
That was NASA's John Mather speaking to Louise Ogden.